G'day, Andrew.
John, you sent us a photo yesterday afternoon late. A lot of work has begun there on the track.
Yeah, we're underway. It's really exciting for the club. We've been waiting a while to get going, and it's all action stations now, although a bit of wet weather around today will hold them up for a day or so, but no, we're really excited that the works have commenced.
And just remind all the listeners what's been done down there.
Yeah, so basically over the there's about 1,000 metres of the track over the back that will be realigned, and new camber installed, and new turf over 1,000 metres, a new 1,500 metre starting chute over the back, a new irrigation system, and then full course sand split drainage as well. So yeah, thanks to funding from Racing New South Wales and Racing New South Wales Country. We're really excited. We're going to have a brand new track, so to speak.
And when do you hope to be back?
Yeah, most of the works will be finished by mid-December, and then we hope to be, you know, running jump outs and trials sort of in February, and then get ready for our carnival in late March.
In late March, okay. Well, we'll keep our listeners up to date, but the work has begun down there, and well done for everyone for finding the funds and getting the work done. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Andrew.
John Miller, the CEO there at Albury. So there's a wrap, plenty going around, heading towards the weekend. Repeating, La Romaine to run in the Cameron tomorrow will be scratched from the Colgate Optic White or the George Main. Tabago's scratched from the Hill Stakes. It's staying down in Victoria. Devan for Lloyd Williams, the five-year-old, has gone out for a spell. And we've given you the news, plenty of it, about the internationals. Shiraz, of course, now with Kim Waugh, having a freshen up on the farm, on the treadmill, and there are some nice races in mind for December, according to new trainer Kim Waugh. Tomorrow morning, lots of Newcastle stuff as well for Cup Day. Also, Godolphin's international trainer Charlie Appleby is bringing at this stage around five horses for the Melbourne Spring. We'll chat with Charlie tomorrow morning. Really looking forward to learn more about one horse in particular called Scottish, who's on the third line of betting for the Cup. So that's tomorrow morning, a chat with Charlie Appleby. Tomorrow morning I'll be back at 9, but he's pushing in. I'm over time. Coming up next, Cozzy with Tab Talk and then Chinwag.
The Australian Turf Club Sydney Spring Carnival is well underway, and Sky Sports Radio is right there. With the Golden Rose now behind us, Sydney Racing moves to Royal Randwick this Saturday for the Colgate Optic White Stakes, formerly the George Main.
Here comes Kermadec, the outside, racing to the lead.
In the coming weeks, there's the Golden Pendant, the Flight Stakes, Metropolitan and the Epsom. Trust your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, to bring you the very best coverage of the Sydney Spring Carnival.
At Bing Lee, buy any Samsung 4K Ultra HD television and get 50% off the ticketed price of the matching Samsung soundbar. Bing Lee, the Samsung big screen TV experts. Terms and conditions apply. See binglee.com.au for full details.
In the world of standard bred sires, Lincoln Royal has built quite a reputation. This stunning-looking son of Mac 3, bred on the same cross as North America's leading sire, Some Beat Somewhere, has certainly impressed the experts. Cran Dalgetty, Bruce Negus and Colin DeFilippi have all hailed his progeny as some of the best in their stables. At just $1,650, Lincoln Royal is outstanding value. For more info, visit lincolnroyal.com.
If you follow the Greyhounds, get the very latest every Monday morning at 10:30. Going Greyhounds has all the news plus feature interviews. If it's happening, host Mark Duclos has it covered on Going Greyhounds, Monday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic.
It's the first time he's finished the Bunnings GP at Phillip Island. Mark Harkness does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove with you. And at the tab.com.au, Jared Middleton as well. Morning, Jared.
Cozzy, how are you going?
Fighting fit, mate. Fantastic. Looking forward to what's going to be an absolutely brilliant weekend of sport. It's all happening. It's the sort of the sharp end of the wedge now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the best time of year, isn't it? Footy finals into spring carnival, and we've got the great mare running around at Randwick at $1.15 there on Saturday. and looks to have the race at the Mersey again. Good weather too in Sydney today, so we should get a pretty good track, we hope, there on the day. And then, of course, you've got your footy finals, and I'll tell you what, that Swans-Crows game on Saturday night's going to be an absolute beauty in Sydney. The betting's interesting because there's been good money for the Crows. I wonder if that'll swing around, though, closer to the first bounce there, Cozzy.
Well, they're going to want to bounce back, aren't they, after what happened last weekend with TWS, because they just got poleaxed.
Well, the question I think you've got to ask yourself as a punter is, can you see the Swans finishing minor premiers and going bang bang out in straight sets, two games in Sydney?
Wouldn't want that.
I just can't see it happening. And look, there's a lot of excited people around there backing the Crows at the moment. But look, at the end of the day, they lost to West Coast at home a couple of weeks ago, and West Coast got turned over by the Bulldogs at home the other night. And then they've gone and jumped all over North Melbourne, who've been pretty ordinary for about 3 months. So I think the Swans will win, Cozzy. That's pretty much what I've deduced from that.
All right. Now let's check an update. The latest, here's Gemma Cutting.
Thanks, Sean. Making headlines today, James Roberts has been found guilty of Grade 1 contrary conduct at the NRL Judiciary, which will see the centre miss Brisbane's must-win semi-final with North Queensland tomorrow night. Yipoon Seagulls junior Jonas Pearson will move to the wing, while Jordan Kahu will shift into the centres. Now, after losing Kane Linnett through injury, the Cowboys are now sweating on the fitness of back rower Ethan Lowe, with the forward suffering a neck complaint and he may not be fit to start. Cohen Hess is on standby to replace him, with either Patrick Kafusi or John Asiata expected to be added to the bench. Raiders coach Ricky Stewart says the fate of 5'8 Blake Austin and hooker Josh Hodgson is out of his hands, but he's hopeful both will feature in Saturday's semi-final against the Panthers at GIO Stadium. Austin had his first full training session last night, and Stewart expects to know sometime today whether he'll play. However, he admits that Hodgson's chances of lining up are slim. The NRL has apparently shunned an offer to interview Hell's Angels bikie Chris Bloomfield, who featured in a video with Titans star Jarrod Hayne, but they will question Hayne and several other players who partied with the former Titans junior at a private function at the Gold Coast Races last Saturday. Manchester City has defeated Mönchengladbach 4-0 this morning in the UEFA Champions League. Leicester beat Bruges 3-0. It was 3-0 to Lyon over Zagreb, and Real Madrid rallied late to topple Sporting Lisbon 2-1. Stephen O'Keefe has vowed to stay off alcohol for 6 months as he returns from injury and tries to regain his spot in Australia's test team. Dropped test batsman Usman Khawaja hopes a strong showing in the Matador Cup for Queensland will earn him a recall for summer tests against South Africa. Khawaja made just 55 runs in two tests versus Sri Lanka and is now locked in a three-way battle with Joe Burns and Sean Marsh for two top-order spots. Golf is set for a 2020-style makeover with innovative shootout-style tournament called the World Super Six to be played in Perth next February. And Australian surfer Tyler Wright is closer to claiming her first world championship after defeating Stephanie Gilmore in an all-Australian final at Lower Trestles in California. Fellow Aussie Joel Parkinson lost a nail-biting final to South Africa's Jordy Smith. That's the latest sport, Sean.
Good on you. Thanks, Gemma. Now, Joe, we've got Trent Copeland joining us, one of our regulars here, and every week look forward to it. Trent, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good. Got to ask you, first of all, Swans and TWS, you would have had your eye on that. What did you take away from it?
Oh, I certainly did, yeah. It was really disappointing from a Swans point of view. But I guess it's the first time I've really seen that derby really hit the heights that everyone hoped that it could. The contest around the ball was as fierce and fearsome as I've ever seen. So, you know, there was guys getting concussed. There was, you know, what the Swans are known for with clean hands around the contest, the GWS guys really stepped up, and their pace and speed around the contest was amazing to watch. So it excites me for future years, but worries me a little bit that I'll be going out there on Saturday night to watch the Swans and the Crows, and hopefully they can get the job done out there.
You reckon Swans can?
I think they can, yeah. Particularly the SCG, they're really dominant there. And no doubt, Longmire and the boys will definitely have a plan to negate the Crows, that's for sure.
Well, $1.55, $2.50 with tab.com.au. Money's running 2-1 in favour of the Crows in the early betting there. But I know you love all your sport, Trent, but as far as your cricket's concerned, back in training, of course, with New South Wales, getting closer to the start of the season there. Are there any new players that we should be looking out for heading into the new season?
Yeah, I think we've got City versus Country sort of trial this weekend at Hurstville Oval, where basically an intra-squad game. And then after that, basically the Matador Cup team is named, and then we're straight into it, the one-day competition. So I think what you will see is plenty of the young guys get opportunities this year. Last year we had the Test Tour of Bangladesh cancelled, and, you know, fortunately for us, we had the likes of Mitchell Stark, Davey Warner and Steve Smith and the like all playing for us. But this year I think you'll see the likes of Ryan Gibson, Chris Green, Harry Conway, Benny Dwarshus, Josh Layla, a few people like that really step up to the mark. And I think it'll be really exciting for cricket lovers in New South Wales.
Now, City Country, I'm sure, I know you're all mates, we're playing against each other, and you're a Bathurst boy, aren't you, from memory?
I am, yeah. So the country boys always fight hard in this sort of contest, so it'll be good. And we're playing at Hurstville Oval, which is my home ground where I play my club cricket, so yeah, it'll be a good weekend.
Yeah, you'll probably be bending the back there and try and frighten the City boys a few times, I dare say.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, you don't want to let them get one up over me, that's sure.
Now, this Aussie tour of South Africa, we're in a couple of weeks' time. They've got one-day against Ireland and then five against the Proteas. And Australia have named three uncapped quicks, Manny, Worrell and Chris Tremaine. Are your thoughts on those selections, Trent?
Yeah, well, two of the guys, Joe Manny and Chris Tremaine, New South Wales guys, particularly Tremaine, he's from out west, right near where I'm from, and I've had a lot to do with him over the years. Made his debut while I was playing in New South Wales side. He shipped off to Victoria to get some greater opportunity, and he's really gone from strength to strength. The thing that he possesses is real pace, which, you know, we don't really have outside of the real top guys at the moment that everyone knows about. So, you know, the likes of Pattinson, Coulter Niles, Stark, Hazelwood. So he brings real pace, some seriously good outswing. And I think, you know, all three of these guys have made a real impact in the Australia A series up in Townsville the last sort of month against India A and South Africa A. And I think they'll be, you know, rewarded for great seasons. You know, Worrell and Manny for South Australia last year had a fantastic season. They won or got through to the final of the Sheffield Shield and the Matador Cup, and those two played huge roles. So one thing to watch out for, Frankie Worrell is his nickname, but he's got the old-fashioned swinging run-up from really wide. He used to have, I believe, one of the boys told me last week that he has a wide run-up. Well, I knew that, but he used to have a tree in his backyard, and you used to have to bowl spin and start in front of it, or you had to run from wide to get around it. And he's got this old-fashioned sort of 1960s-style run-up, which will be interesting for the people to view.
Sensational. Now, does he look sort like Maxie Walker sort of stuff.
I was going to say, you look like Dougie Walters hasn't got a packet of fags in his pocket as well, is he?
No, but he's certainly the alternative guy, but he's... What he does do is he's a real competitor, and he'll bring everything for his country, that's for sure.
Now, well, bringing everything for your country, I mean, England have got a tour of Bangladesh at the moment, and it's a bit of a sensitive situation. There's been some terrorist issues, et cetera, over in Bangladesh, and Owen Morgan and Alex Hales are pulled out of that tour. I guess this is a real issue for the modern-day cricketer and just the nature of where cricket's played. I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, Morgan's the one-day captain, for instance, so it's a huge decision. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Trent?
Well, I think that shows the magnitude of where they're heading with that decision. You know, Owen Morgan is not someone that would just pull out of that tour for no reason. The Australian security briefing last year was that it wasn't safe to go there. You know, England's obviously going to be doing their due diligence and figuring out whether it's safe, and if they think so and they're still going to go on that tour, then every player is still within their rights to be making a decision on, you know, it's their life. You know, we've seen in Sri Lanka previously, our former coach Trevor Bayliss got shot at in a bus. You know, Chandika Hathorasinghe, who was our coach at New South Wales for a little while, he was coach of Bangladesh or you know, still a part of it. But I know that there's things happening over there that doesn't make him feel comfortable, and that's, you know, you don't play cricket to be a part of that. So I can understand where they're coming from, as much as the England fans might not like it.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's just the nature of travelling in cricket. It's in 2016 now, of course.
Do you ever feel concerned, Trent, when you travel?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been there. The concerns are always there when you see okay, yeah, I'm going to India or I'm going to New Zealand or I'm going wherever, you know, you always just have your ear to the ground and listening out for things that are going on in that place. But at the end of the day, I've chosen in those scenarios when Cricket Australia go over there and make their decision that, you know, the pre-tour briefing's fine and everything's safe, I sort of just put my faith in the fact that they know more than me. And at the end of the day, I might still be a little worried about it, but, you know, you just got to get on with it. But I know a lot of people take a very different point of view, so each to their own.
Now, I know it's been talked about all week, but, you know, sledging's obviously part of the game in cricket, and we saw it in footy last weekend with Mick Ennis and sledging the Canberra fans with a Viking clap in their direction at the end of the game. I haven't got a problem with it, and I'm guessing as a cricketer you probably don't have a problem with it either, Trent.
No, well, I think as long as it's taken in good faith, which I believe some of the fans didn't, but, you know, Mick Ennis is one of those blokes that if you've watched any football in the last 10 years, you know that he's, like, in people's faces when someone drops the ball, he gives them a rub over the head just to try and rile them up. And I think in that moment, I saw him on NRL 360 get on there and have a chat about the fact that the game meant so much to them. They lost their skipper the day before. They've had Wade Graham go down concussed early on in the game. And they had plenty of things go wrong with them during the week. And the fact that they'd come back from such a deficit in that game. So I think, you know, it just meant so much to him in that moment. And he thought, you know what, the Raiders fans over there, they gave us a hell of a shout during the fixture. So why not go have a bit of a laugh with them? And I thought, it actually created a bit of an anecdote for the end of the game. And I hate that sometimes those stories get taken the wrong way.
Yeah, no, I guess the Raiders, like the Swans, they're looking to not go out in straight sets on their home ground. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Raiders against the Panthers?
Well, I think they're probably the two most exciting teams to watch at the moment. I don't think I'd be stepping out of line in saying that. The Raiders possess such dynamic outside backs, you know, Rapana, Croker, BJ Leilua, and then, you know, someone that's in doubt, Blake Austin. But the big one for me, if he doesn't play, Josh Hodgson, arguably one of the best players in the competition this year, was certainly leading the Dally M earlier on in the year. If he doesn't play, I don't think the Raiders can get there. I think what he brings to the table is just so much of a difference for them in terms of playmaking ability, taking on the line, and even just, you know, conducting the tempo of the whole game for them. So if he's out, I think they'll struggle, but, you know, they've been a top four team for a reason most of the year. And the Panthers, you know, I'm really scared as a Roosters fan for future years of Sydney dominance by this side. You know, you look at their list, you know, Moylan at the back, Mansour on the wing, Bryce Cartwright is one of the best talents that I've ever seen in terms of his age and what he's bringing to the table already. And then your two young halves, Tamari Martin, who's not playing, but Nathan Cleary, who really looks every bit a star like his old man was. So two amazing teams, and then you got, you know, the solid guys like Trent Merrin and stuff there as well. So I really can't wait to watch this fixture, and I'm sure the rest of Sydney and Canberra can't either.
Yeah, it's $1.85, $2 Canberra site favourites. What's your one big tip for the weekend, Trent, across the footy codes? I know you love your Premier League as well. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, I think, the one thing for me is that the Swans, obviously not favourites after what happened last weekend, but what people might be forgetting is how dominant they are and how good they've been for a long time. They're not just going to lay down and let the Crows run over them. So I think, I really think the Swans are my tip for this week, and I think it could be quite comprehensive, and people may not think that.
I'm with you. Yeah. No, mate, Trent, it's been great to talk to you, and looking forward to having you as a regular on Tab Talk throughout the summer, especially when it gets hotter and the cricket starts. Yeah. But, mate, enjoy the day and the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And we look forward to seeing you in the retro gear too, Trent.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, mate, good on you. Trent Copeland joining us there, and isn't it good to see a few of the characters back in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing with Mick Ennis. I mean, it's consistent with his personality on the field. I loved it. Yeah. I think it's great. That's it. You need personality in footy in the professional age.
And the man who's got buckets of it from the Courier Mail, Ben Dorries, joins us now. Morning, Ben.
Yeah, g'day, lads. I've just spent the last 5 minutes being stitched up by your colleague Glenn Munty on Twitter. It's just another day in paradise up here for me.
Has he learnt to spell?
Well, I have advised him to change his background on Twitter. It's him sort of having a few beers and lazing back in the pool because I think there's ladies going off their breakfast everywhere in Australia looking at that horrible picture.
There'd be mice throwing themselves on traps, I can tell you. Should we get James Roberts to go and see him?
Yeah, look, I think the right decision's been made here, guys. I mean, I think he should have got a week for complete stupidity, for starters. I mean, it was pretty obvious he kicked out there, wasn't it? And, I mean, his defence to start with was pretty unbelievable. He sort of used a Christopher Skye sort of Alan Bond-style defence. You know, I can't remember, you know, if you don't mind. Yeah. So, look, I think it was a pretty stupid old act, and I think a week is exactly the right penalty. I'm not surprised the Broncos tried to fight it. I mean, they are up against the Cowboys in a must-win semi-final, but I think the right decision was made, guys.
And what about, can you make some sense, Ben, of this Jared Haynes situation and what's going on there in the wash-up to the end of their season?
Yeah, look, I think it's pretty unsavoury stuff, guys. I mean, look, Jared Haynes' manager has come out and said, look, he just happened to be... just happened to run into these sort of bikies and just happened to have a picture taken, you know, with him sort of giving the bloke $5,000 cash. And this just, you know, it was all just a coincidence. I mean, if you believe that, you believe that sort of Harold Holt, you know, he's going to come out of the surf down there in Bondi, you know, like it just doesn't make sense. And look, I've got to say, you know, I suppose in life you can't pick your friends in a way, can you? Your friends are your friends. But, I mean, only hours after the Titans, you know, got knocked out of the finals and had a terrific season, you know, for finally there was some good press and some good vibes, you know, floating around about the Titans and a lot to look forward to next year. I mean, this is exactly what they did, their big signing, sort of associating with these bikies. And one of the bikies that... you know, he was associating with, he's up on, you know, he's alleged to have committed some pretty serious criminal offences. I mean, he's up on extortion charges, if you don't mind, and serious charges like that. So, look, I mean, I think Jared Haynes has got to realise he's a poster boy, really, for the NRL, isn't he? I mean, he's one of the biggest names. He's like, if you want, the Buddy Franklin almost of the NRL. He's that big a name. And he's just got to keep his nose clean. And, you know, look, if he wants to associate with these sort of guys after he finishes playing footy, all good and well, but I thought it was pretty ordinary old stuff. I mean, there's kids everywhere that have got posters of Jared Haynes in their bedrooms. They just adore him, and this sort of unsavoury stuff just isn't needed, I reckon.
Well, it doesn't sort of put your attitude in a good light, does it?
No, exactly. And you know what? Like, it did make me wonder when I saw this story. I mean, I gather there were a few other Gold Coast Titans players fighting around there as well, but it made me wonder. I mean, only sort of hours after they got turfed out in the finals. What, if you wanted a beer or wanted to have a good time, let his hair down, fine. But do it with your teammates. Yeah. I mean, what's he sort of doing out with these sort of guys? You know, if he wanted to go to a nightclub and party on all night with his teammates, that's fine. But I just didn't think it was a very good look that he's out with these sort of guys and his teammates, most of them are somewhere else having their own party. I mean, it doesn't say much for sort of team dynamics for starters, does it? So, look, I mean, I suppose it's not the crime of the century. I mean, he hasn't done anything sort of criminally wrong or you know, there's no allegation along those lines, but it's just not a good look. And he's such a big name, he's just got to keep his nose clean. And I've got to say, I'm getting a bit sick of all these NRL players sort of being warned for consorting with criminals or guys who are suspected of doing something wrong. It's just a terrible look. I mean, the NRL, I know they're very, very worried about a very seedy sort of element, you know, creeping into the game. And you know, the quicker they stamp this sort of stuff out, the better, I think, guys.
Ben and Jared, I'm really confused. Who's coaching the Broncos? Is it Wayne Bennett or Jeff Fenech?
Yeah, I think this story... I mean, we had a bit of fun with it, in fairness, up here at the Courier Mail. Two players, Josh Maguire and Salusi Funakale, I think I've said his name right. They sort of came to a bit of push and shove at training this week. But look, it was sort of handbags at 10 paces, really, guys. I mean, there was a bit of aggro there. There was a bit of push and shove. I think there might have been a sort of a glancing blow landed on the cheek. But you know what? I mean, the Sydney Press took this and called the Broncos a club in crisis. My good mate down there at the Daily Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Richie, gee, he had a bit of fun with this story. But you know what? Like, I reckon it's actually terrific. It shows a bit of passion. Shows that, you know, they're really serious about what they're doing. And you know what? Tempers do flare sometimes, don't they, at training? Yeah. I mean, they do in every sport, you know, everywhere, I'm sure.
The NRL is littered with these sort of examples of blokes who sort of come to blows or had a bit of a push and shove at training. I suppose the pictures of it didn't portray things in a terrific light, but I didn't mind it at all, really, lads. I think it was a bit overblown, to be honest.
No, it was great stuff. It's good to see. I know you got to go pretty quickly, but the Cowboys, so you're popular. I know you've got about 15 interviews to do this morning, Ben, but we've got to get your thoughts on the Cowboys and the Broncos. $1.45 and $2.85. Money's nearly 50-50. I've got to say, I'm a bit surprised at that. I can't see the Cowboys going out in straight sets, can you?
No, you can't. But, I mean, I suppose one thing to just keep an eye on is if the Broncos manage to produce the performance like they did 3 weeks ago in Melbourne, then Cowboys really should look out. I mean, that was terrific if you think about what the Broncos did in Melbourne. But I just think, yeah, the Cowboys, they're just a more seasoned, more athletic, more dynamic side than the Broncos. And I know the Broncos have had a bit of a winning run of late, but I just don't think they're travelling quite as well as they were at this time last year. And look, I mean, it takes a Herculean effort, doesn't it, to beat the Cowboys up there in Townsville. They're basically unbeatable up there. So, look, I'm expecting the Cowboys to win this one fairly comfortably, guys, and snuff out the Broncos season.
And just lastly, I see on Twitter you got a 30-1 tip for us.
Yeah, I have. I think this horse might be priced a bit wrong in some places, guys. I think that the tab might have a 20-1, your tab, but I think in other places it's 30-1. There's a horse called Friendly Dragon up here running at Eagle Farm, race 8 on the weekend. 30-1 in some markets. He is an absolute mudlark, and there is rain expected everywhere, basically, in Brisbane the next few days. And, of course, the Eagle Farm track at the moment only takes a drop of rain, and it's a heavy 8 or something anyway. So I'm expecting a heavy track, and it gets conditions to suit. And I just think last start behind Hidden Pearl was just warming up late, hitting the line very well. Extra 200 metres on Saturday, I think, 20-1, 30-1. Even the 20-1, I think it'll start 12-1 and go very close. So there you go, Friendly Dragon, something to the back.
Friendly Dragon. What was it, race 8?
Race 8. And Les Ross, the trainer, terrific bloke, real larrikin sort of guy, enjoys it himself. And he's in a bit of a hot run of form at the moment, he's stable flying. So, yeah, I think if you can snap even 20-1, which might be available now, I think it's a pretty good bet each way.
Yeah, it's the price, $21. So it'll be $21.
Hey, listen, I'm due to tip a winner on your show sometime soon, aren't I? Like, I've had about 20 goes. So, look, you don't go broke sort of, having something each way on 20-1 things, though, do you? So no. I think the good old Friendly Dragon will run you a mighty race, I suppose.
We'll be building a statue to you and lighting candles in the side of town.
There's already one up here, lad. That's not the Courier Mail. There's one of me and Robert Craddock. It's just terrific.
For the pigeons.
Pigeons everywhere.
Pigeons everywhere. Good on you, mate. Have a good week, Ben. We'll talk to you next week.
Good on you, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben Dorries there from the Courier Mail. Always great to catch up with him. Interesting to see the quote from Chris Wallace saying, well, if Winkshead's beaten, well, we'll just regroup and go on. But, I mean, at this stage, price-wise, you wouldn't think so, would you?
No, that's it. I mean, the only other one they're backing is Toes and Stardom, which was, a real eye-catcher there first up. And we've seen it in Australia before, of course, Toes and Stardom, but it was a pretty good run. Hiraki coming off a win, but Winks has accounted for Hiraki in the three previous times they've met. Now, we've got the Newcastle Cup tomorrow too, of course. Race 7 there, where we've got money for singing for Chris Lees. It's been $4 into $3.50. In fact, it's the only one they're backing since we put the market up yesterday. There's been some good money for it too. So, can you believe that Max Lee's never won the Newcastle Cup? Chris has yet to win it.
Gee.
And Paul Perry's never won it. So there you go, three of the great Hunter region identities of racing. Never won the Newcastle Cup. Chris has got four running tomorrow, and of course singing the favourite. And Paul's got Quartermaster, which is roughly 100-1. So I've got a feeling Chris might have a big hand. Well, he does have a big hand. Yeah. And might be breaking that drought tomorrow. So that's race 7 tomorrow. Newcastle, 4:40 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And looking for big coverage too. We'll have on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
And for any trainer or jock, it's always a big thrill to win your hometown cup.
That's exactly right. So I'm sure that Chris really wants this one.
Yep, too right. Well, Jared, we'll catch you through the day.
Absolutely, Cozzy.
Look forward to it and talk to you soon.
Great to talk to you as always.
Good on you, mate. Jared Middleton joining us there. 10:30, Sky Sports Radio. In a moment, a chin wag with Barry Ratcliffe.
Sky Sports Radio calls on the best form analyst this spring carnival.
And for spotting a horse returning, there's none better than trial expert Tony Brassel.
The one we've just gone a little bit left field with race 7. Cab number 7, McIntosh.
He was right on the mark at $9.50.
McIntosh just in front of Counterattack, and McIntosh wins the Theo Marks.
This Saturday morning at 6.45, Tony Brassel is back with more winners here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Sydney comes to life this September through November at the Sydney Spring Carnival.
And they're off and racing and there's a...
Be trackside Saturday, September 17, when Group 1 Racing returns to Royal Randwick on Colgate Optic White Stakes Day. Cheer our best milers home as they stake their claim for a place in the Epsom Handicap. It's also your chance to splash your favourite silks and enjoy the finest hospitality. Book your tickets today at theatc.com.au. The Sydney Spring Carnival. It's where Sydney comes to life.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Gallo's Pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including chunky steak, curried beef, or the delicious beef and mushroom. Mushies, just beautiful. Gallo's Pies, available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Sky Sports Radio is a great supporter of country racing, and this Sunday we're off to Dubbo for their Gold Cup.
Been long road just in front, big long road beat sooner or later.
This country showcase day has minimum prize money of $30,000 for each race, with the Gold Cup carrying $60,000. On Sunday, catch form analyst Mick Wallace and race caller Cole Hodges with the winning information and winning calls.
We're doing fine in the lucky
right here on Sky Sports Radio. Now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time to chinwag with Cozzy.
28 to 11, I've been looking forward to this, to having a chinwag with the one and only Barry Ratcliffe. Morning, Barry, how are you?
Morning, Sean, how are you, mate?
I'm fighting fit, thank you. You had Malleable in yesterday, ran a nice fourth for you.
Yeah, you ran a pretty honest race for the boys, it's real good, so... Well, actually, we're just on our way home from Warwick Farm now. We're around about Newcastle way, yeah.
All right. Now, yesterday, he poked home nicely for you, Barry, over the 2,400. How's he pulled up? Whoops, you there? I think we might have lost Barry. I hope we can get him back. We're in strife for half an hour. We'll try and get him back there now. Give him another call there on the line. He's on his way back from the races over there yesterday. And in that race, Joe Cleary won with Chiquita. We had Joe on yesterday talking to him on, and Chiquita won well. Yeah, Barry, has he pulled up a ride for you?
Yeah, we heard Malleable yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so where to from here?